You guys sit tight. We're going to be bringing you the all-new self-defense workshop on The Dean Show. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere, we'll be right back.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to The Dean Show. Stay tuned, we're going to be talking about original goodness. So, you've heard the term original sin, but we're going to flip it around. We're going to talk about original goodness. So sit right there, we'll be right back.
Be right back. Check this out.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to The Dean Show. And another episode of The Mailbag, where we answer your questions the best we can and offer some clarity on some of the things that causes many people to have a misconception about Islam. Let's see what we have today. Okay, why would anyone, the questioner asks, leave Christianity, which is all about love, to enter Islam, which is always associated with violence and terror? That's an interesting question, simply because the questioner obviously has been influenced by the media interpretations of Islam. Normally, the media, which makes most of its attention and money off of the excitement of news and the things that show excitement towards negativities, is usually the only things that makes the news. And so as a result of that, many people who rely on the media, whether it be television, newspapers, or radio, their only conception they have of Islam is what they're being told. But actually, Islam, much to the contrary, is not about war and not about terrorism, but Islam actually is about peace, and even the name Islam itself, which means the act of submitting to the will of God. That is Islam. And the will of God is peace. He created this entire universe in an atmosphere of peace, and our very nature drives us toward peace. And when we're at peace with creation and we're at peace with ourselves, then obviously we as human beings, not only Muslims, but also we want to be at peace with ourselves and with the Creator. And so as a result of that, we want to just clear up that misconception that Islam is definitely not about war, not about terrorism, not about frightening people or any of those negativities, but the submission to the will of God. And that's the only way we can be at peace with ourselves, to submit to the will of the Creator who created all of us. That's it right now for this episode of The Mailbag. Inshallah, we look forward to seeing you again next time on The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Which means peace be unto you. For those that have not learned already, many people have been hearing me say this quite a few times. Muslims know what it means, but I like to translate it for those of our brothers in humanity who get to hear us. This is a greeting that actually Jesus Christ would also say, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
So those who don't know you, this is Joshua Evans. You can hear his story on The Dean Show, but we brought him back to talk about a very important topic. You heard of original sin. This is what your life was based on.
Yes.
And a lot of people are indoctrinated to believe this, that you're born into sin and someone had to come, which was Jesus, pay the ultimate price, be the ultimate sacrifice. And if you don't believe this, you're going where?
To hell.
To hellfire. All right. We're going to start to question this. We're going to diagnose this. We're going to try to pick it apart and see where this stems from, where this came up from, and we'd like for you to explain a little bit about this whole thing that you used to believe and many people believe today, original sin.
Well, the original sin stems and gets its origin in Pauline doctrine. This concept was first manifested in the form that we see it today from Paul. the self-proclaimed apostle. Someone who never really saw Jesus Christ himself, just says that he saw Jesus in a vision.
He never saw Paul. This is a very important point. He never spoke to Jesus, never met him, never saw him.
There's no evidence, and he never claims to have physically seen Jesus when he was on this earth. He says that on the road to Damascus, which was at that time he was persecuting Christians, he was killing them rampantly. He is said to have had a vision from Jesus that told him that you are my apostle on the world now, then that you are to spread my message. And he said he was blind for 3 days, and he went, and there's some things happens, but then he becomes the bearer of this new doctrine that has never been heard before in the world, of salvation. And the whole way that he justifies salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is because of the original sin concept.
Okay, hold on. Real quick, Joshua. We know that God has strengthened prophets because anybody can make a claim, I'm a prophet, But God, to show the people that this is indeed a messenger of God, a prophet of God, he strengthened them. We know about Moses splitting the sea. He did certain miracles. Jesus, we attest to those miracles that he did in the name of by God's permission. But for somebody to say that, okay, look, I'm an apostle, I'm this, I'm that. What did this man, is there any miracles that this Paul, that is actually the founder of Christianity, did he do anything amazing besides bring this this doctrine? Did he do anything that was like, okay, fascinating, that was like, wow, he made the moon split, or he did
nothing of the supernatural.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing of the supernatural, other than his claim that he saw Jesus. And then even in his own claim, in his own words, in one place, he says that on the road to Damascus, he saw a light. And he could see the light, but he couldn't hear who was speaking to him. And then when he tells the story at another place later on, he says that I was on the road to Damascus, and I heard a voice, but didn't see who was speaking. So
conflicting stories also.
Yes. The story isn't even, we don't know whether he saw Jesus and didn't hear him, or he heard him and didn't see him.
All right, so we pass on from this. Now we go on. He introduces this.
He introduces this doctrine of original sin through some verses such as, for as an Adam die, as in Adam all shall die, so in Christ all shall live. And he says that, that through Adam sin nature passed into the world, into humanity. Therefore, Jesus Christ became the redemption of that sin nature by shedding his blood and taking that sin, the entire sin nature of the world, he took upon himself, and therefore died with that sin nature. Therefore, those who believe in him can be redeemed and have eternal life. Now, this concept of original sin nature is not found anywhere else in the Bible.
In the Old Testament?
In the Old Testament, not found.
Did Moses speak about it? I want to know.
Moses didn't speak about it.
Did Noah speak about
Noah
it?
Noah didn't speak about
the
it.
The father, now, of the prophets, Abraham.
Abraham didn't speak about it.
He never spoke about this.
He never spoke about it.
All right.
The way that they would get forgiveness of sins was that they made offerings and sacrifices to God in order to seek repentance, showing their sincereness of repentance before God. They would sacrifice, and they would make a ritual and only do this only to God. This was their way of showing that I have, Paul streamlined all that, he streamlined the process.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is believe Jesus Christ down on the cross. That's it. Good, you're good.
It's kind of like the sacrifice that we as Muslims make. It's to show our obedience, and then we give the food to the poor.
Yes.
God doesn't need the blood. He doesn't need the animal.
Yeah, just that's it. And even in the Quran,
we need the food. We need to eat.
Even in the Quran, talking about sacrifice, God says it's not the flesh or blood that reaches me, but the intention of your heart.
He says that where?
In the Quran.
In the verbatim last and final revelation.
Word of God. It said it's not the flesh or blood that reaches me. It's what's in your heart.
It's what's in your heart. Your obedience.
Your obedience to me. That you told me to do it. Like when Abraham was told to sacrifice his firstborn son, who, by the way, was Ishmael.
Yes.
Ishmael was not Isaac. That can be very easily proven. It was not Isaac. It wasn't that he wanted him to kill his son. He wanted to see his willingness to do it. That's why when he was ready to do it, God stopped him. said, you've proven your point.
So he didn't need that pound of flesh?
He didn't need it.
He substituted actually with a ram.
With a ram. He didn't need it. He wanted to see what was in the heart.
So as soon as he proved his obedience, that was it.
And that's actually what raised Abraham to the status in Islam. He's called the friend of God. In the Bible, he was the friend of God. The only friend of God. The best friend. Like he, in Arabic, is Khalil. Khalil means my best friend. He became the best friend of God through the sacrifice.
He hooked up.
He was willing to sacrifice his only... You want to talk about having friends in high places. You know, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Right now, I'm telling you today, if I had a dream that told me I needed to kill my son, don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
But Abraham could.
But this is how the revelations used to come to these messengers, through dreams and through...
Their dreams, ways. Every messenger's dreams were true. When they saw these things in dreams, it was from God. They didn't have crazy dreams like we have. You know, their dreams were inspirations.
So our dreams can actually be from... Islamically, it can be a dream from the devil, right?
Yeah, it can be a dream from our own soul.
From our own soul, just ramblings of the mind.
Or it can be from God.
It can be an inspiration.
Which is
God.
One of the 46 parts of prophethood that are left in this world.
Yeah.
Is true dreams. Things that you see in a dream and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But now this original sin nature, this doctrine that Paul spends his whole life trying to indoctrinate the people into is disproven by the Old Testament. And this was another reason why Paul had to abolish the law. He had to make sure that he cut off the Old Testament. That this Old Testament is dead. Jesus came, he sacrificed himself, he abolished the law, because Paul knew that everything he taught was contradicted by the law. He was contradicted by the law of Moses. He knew it. So he had to go about saying, as he told the Galatians, that Jesus Christ came and the law is cursed. Therefore, Jesus Christ came and took the curse upon himself by taking the sacrifice of dying on the cross. Therefore, forget about the law.
Now,
we don't need the law.
I want to know from the lips of Jesus, did he ever say that I'm canceling out the law by me being crucified? Did he say that I'm dying for your sin, that everyone is cursed? Did he say anything explicitly like this about this original sin?
He actually said, whosoever shall obey the smallest commandment and teach men to do so, he will be raised high in the kingdom of heaven.
Whoever shall obey the smallest commandment
and teach others to do
and
so,
and teach others to do so, shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
He said, whosoever shall break the smallest commandment and teach others to do so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Now, in modern English, that means obeying God.
Yeah, whoever obeys God, even in the smallest thing,
yeah,
will be great. And if he teaches others to do so, whoever disobeys God and the law and teaches others to do so, he'll be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus came to fulfill the law.
He's saying obey God.
Obey the law.
The commandments.
Yeah, listen to the law of God.
And God is saying the same thing.
God is saying the same thing because this is how we live our life, you know. God didn't just put us on this earth and say, good luck, figure it out.
No.
He gave us, you know, I saw a billboard one time, I was driving on the road, and it had a baby with a tag on it that said, user manual or instruction book enclosed. And it says, don't you wish life was this easy? And honestly, it is. God did not put us on this life without giving us an instruction manual. He did. He gave us a law. He gave Moses a law. He gave all the prophets a law. And we were given a law too. Paul was given a law. Jesus was given a law. So, and Paul was supposed to be following that law. But he decided that he was going to go the other way. Because the very thing that he taught about original sin is contradictory to the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses says that the Father shall not be put to death for the Son, nor the Son be put to death for the Father. Every soul that sinneth shall die.
Meaning in modern English that, look, what I do, it's on me. What you do is on you.
In Deuteronomy 24, it says everyone will be punished for his own sin.
So if I do the crime, I do the time.
That's it.
So now if my great-great-great-great-grandfather did something, now they lock me up for it. That's unjust.
If anyone said that today, like if someone came and got you and said, you know what, your ancestor so-and-so killed people in Europe, we got to get you. His sin nature passed to you. You'll be like, you're
out of your mind.
People will be flipping out.
Yeah.
But so you're going to try to tell me because Adam disobeyed God by eating from the tree. Now I have to be punished for this.
Doesn't make sense. And that's what we're talking about today. Original sin? No. We say original goodness. And we're going to be right back. Don't go away on The Dean Show.
We'll be right back. Check this out.
You're watching The Dean Show. This is The Mailbag. We're taking a call right now. Yes, I know I've had you on hold. I appreciate that. Go ahead. And what's the question? Okay, we got it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And be sure to watch us right here on The Dean Show. You know, every week, same time. That's right. Rightio. Okay. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right. This is Yusuf Estes. We're here on The Dean Show. This is The Mailbag. And we take calls when it's live. When it's a live program, this is, we take the calls. Now, let me go to the question of our caller, which coincides with one that I had received here. Let me find it. Here it is. This is asking a question about Jesus. And what do we believe about Jesus? Can Jesus be God? First of all, thank you for asking me about my religion. That's what we always say. We have the truth and we have the proof. The truth is, I can't lie or I go to hell. That's in my religion. The other thing is, we have the evidence anyway. What does the Quran tell us about Jesus? We believe in a man by the name of Isa. Now, if you call him Jesus, that's up to you, but we know his name is Isa, and he was a miracle birth. His mother was named Miriam. We have a chapter of the Quran named after her, chapter 19. And his miracle birth, there was no human intervention here. There was no man. There was nobody who fertilized any egg and implanted it in her like they do in modern days or anything like that. She had a miracle birth, and it was by the will of God. Almighty Allah willed it to be done. He says, kun fayakun, be and it is. And that's how Jesus came about. But does that mean he's God? Well, how is it that we got Adam in the first place? If he was anything less than a miracle, I'd like to know, because he has no father or mother. Adam was created from dirt, and Allah blew life into him. And then let's take the example of Eve. Eve was taken from a bone from Adam. We have this in our Quran, by the way. If you didn't know that, you need to know that we know Eve, she is created from Adam. And from these two, Allah says, they brought forth many people, many tribes, many nations Allah brought forth on the earth. And he made us different from each other that we recognize each other. But at the same time, we look at Eve and we say we would not worship her, even though she was born and created without any mother. We don't worship Adam. We don't worship Eve. So why should we worship Jesus? Just because he didn't have a father. Makes sense? There's another point, too, is let us look to Jesus and think, peace be upon him. Did he eat food? Yeah. Does God have to eat? Did Jesus sleep? Does God have to sleep? Allah doesn't sleep. He says in the Quran, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayu qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. That he is Allah, beside whom there's none other to worship. The all-living, he's always living. He's never been created. He didn't just start up one day. No, he's always living and always self-subsisting. He doesn't need anything. He's not needy at all. And then it says he doesn't sinatun, doesn't grow weary. And he doesn't naum. He doesn't sleep. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't go into that twilight zone of and he doesn't sleep, because he's Allah. He's not like a human. So get that in your mind. But now, what about eating? If you eat, don't you have to go to the bathroom? And you want to say that God went to the bathroom, astaghfirullah. This is too much for the Muslim mind to even contemplate that you would put God in the creation. Although we immediately recognize from the Quran itself that Jesus fulfilled scripture. He fulfilled prophecy. He came to fulfill prophecy that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the miracle birth, born of a virgin, and he was. And when he came, he brought a mighty message, and the message was, worship God without partners. To know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you have to love him and worship him with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. That's in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. Very clear. And that's the message of Jesus. Not worshiping him, but worshiping the one he worshiped, Who did Jesus worship when he prayed? And he said, and you pray who? To the one above. And how do you pray? God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when he was in the trials and the fitna that was coming about in Gethsemane, and he prayed and he was asking God, let this cup pass from me, but even so, your will be done. Who's he talking to? Himself? And on the cross, according to the people that have him on the cross, the one on the cross is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we wouldn't accept this. We won't accept that because no prophet would say God was forsaken them. It's the devil who is forsaken, not any of the prophets of God. They were always in the best care of Almighty God. And this is why Muslims say what we do. We believe that it is true that he is a mighty prophet. He is a miracle birth. He is the Messiah. He's Jesus, or in Arabic, he's Isa. This is our belief. If you want to know more about it, though, go to the website for this purpose. Go to Bible Islam. BibleIslam.com. Check it out for yourself and see what you think. And send us more emails like this or call us during our live shows. Let's return you back to the program in progress. You're watching The Dean Show right here.
Welcome back to The Dean Show, the all-new show helping you understand Islam and Muslims, helping you develop a better understanding. Former Christian youth minister in the studio today on The Dean Show, and we're talking about original sin, actually original goodness, and let's continue on. I want to know, what did Jesus say, okay? Before we talk about someone who never met Jesus, he never walked with Jesus, he never talked to Jesus, I want to know what the Creator's talking about, and this mighty messenger that 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, we love him, we revere him. If I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not a Muslim.
It's a tenet of our faith. Without believing in Jesus, you can't. Your faith is incomplete.
I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus?
Absolutely.
We just testified to that. Let's keep on.
Jesus said in John 9 that when he passed by and he saw a blind man that was from his birth, and people came and asked him, was it his parents' sin or his sin that made him born blind? Because he was born blind. Therefore, who was at fault? Why was he born blind? Is he being punished because of his parents' sin, or he's become punished because of his parents' sin? He said that it was not him or his parents was sin. It was so that the works of God may be made manifest, and then he healed him. This man, Jesus said, this man was born blind so that I could come on this day and heal him and show you a miracle of God. So he said it was not his sin, or it wasn't anyone's fault. That he said this, it wasn't anyone's fault. It was so that God's works may be made manifest. Also, Jesus said that truly, he told his disciples, truly I say unto you, unless you become children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like children. Why did he say become like children? Because children are pure. Children before the age of puberty, and this is Judaic law. This is in the law of Moses, that a person before the age of puberty is not responsible. Islamic law, same thing. Before the age of puberty, you're not responsible before God. If I die before the age of puberty, I go directly to heaven. Because I'm not accountable yet for what I do. So that's why Jesus said, if you become like children, then you can enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you mean? Go back to that pure state. Go back to that pure nature that you were born in. Because every single human being is born with that pure nature. That pure nature that knows that there is one God. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that every single person is born as a Muslim. Meaning that they are born innately submitting to God. That's what Muslim is. One who submits to God. So you're saying if a child is born and you just leave them all by themselves, they would grow up knowing there's a creator to all this here. You know what I mean? They would understand innately within themselves this stuff didn't just happen, you know?
But the Christian now theology is that every child is born into sin.
And that's just crazy. I look at my 2-year-old son and just think
you look at your child, you say, man, this child is so beautiful. He's so pure, innocent.
And you tell me he's full of sin nature.
If you raise him to be a criminal, he'll probably be a criminal, right? But God has put innate goodness in him, that he's good from the start.
And then I question also my pastors, if I'm born into sin, what happens to a child that dies at 5 years old? They don't know how to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do they go to, and there's no explanation in Christianity for this. None.
So we don't have God saying it anywhere in the Old Testament. Moses, Noah, Jesus, Abraham, none of the mighty messengers of God ever talked about this, explicitly saying that, look, Jesus is coming to die for your sins, accept this, and you got a one-way ticket to paradise.
It's not anywhere explicitly.
But you got someone else talking about it, Paul. Yeah, so why do people just fall on this belief? I mean, the evidence is very weak. Logically, it does not make sense. And if somebody now wants to argue this, you ask them, is it fair that you sit in jail right now for something your great-great-great-great-grandfather did? What would they say? No.
They would say no.
So tell me, why do people now follow something like this just blindly? Why do they just accept this without really looking into it, questioning it much?
There's a few reasons. Number one, and even God talks about this in the Quran, the final revelation to mankind, that most of these people, this is the way of their forefathers. This is the way my father's father, you know, this is the way, this is how we are. And I have people tell me this when I talk to them. They'll even say, yeah, I believe what you say, but I can't leave my religion. This is just the way I am. This is the way I was born. And the other one, and you're probably going to get some emails about this, is the easy way out.
It's the very, it's like that free lunch, that free
lotto ticket. It's like get out of jail free card. It's get out of jail free card.
You don't want to work for nothing.
I accept Jesus. Do what I want the rest of my life, go to heaven.
What makes somebody think that, look, you can go to your boss and say, look, pay me after doing no work? This life is about struggling, striving.
Just let me come in, punch the clock, go home.
It doesn't work like that.
I work for you. I'll say that I work for you, but pay me.
So now you're just saying, look, I believe this, and now that's it. I'm good. I can do whatever I want. Because really there's no criteria, nothing, a system that you really got to stringently stick by. Is there? You are a Christian. Tell me.
No. I mean, there's levels of being good Christian, but Christians believe once saved, always saved. Not all Christians. A majority of conservative Christians believe once you're saved, you're always saved. You cannot step out. Once you have believed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can't step out of that salvation. No matter what you do, you're saved. No matter what, because that's how monument that thing is.
Let's turn it around and go back to something that I think that anyone with an open heart and open mind will agree with this, and there's no arguing this. That original goodness. It even sounds better. Just from the start, when you say original sin, you're like, uh-oh, some trouble here. But when you say original goodness, you're good from the start. So talk about now what is what you believe in now, this original goodness, where this stems from, and what is the belief, how we achieve and stay on this original goodness.
Well, I believe the way the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us.
Which was he was the last
and the last final messenger of God that came
mankind. 600 no more. Seal of the prophets
610 years after Jesus. Yeah. He began his prophethood 610 years after Jesus, born 570 years after Jesus. He said that, and he even spoke of himself. He said, I'm the one Jesus spoke of. When he would speak to Christians, he would say that you've heard of me. You've heard of me. Jesus told you about me. He said that every one is born as a Muslim. It is their father or mother, their environment that makes them something else. So that's why when Muslims say they have reverted to Islam, it's because they have come back to that original state of goodness
submission
that you were born in.
Surrender.
Submission with the will of one true God.
So people don't get now spooked with the Arabic.
Yeah, they you know, they come back, you revert. I consider myself a revert to Islam. I did not convert to Islam. I converted to Christianity.
Yes.
Through my upbringing. Mm-hmm. I reverted back to the original state of being one who submits himself totally to the will of God, and that was my purpose of creation. This is the reason I was created.
So this is your belief now. This is what Islam teaches, that everyone is born pure.
Yes.
From the start.
From the start.
Original goodness. Now, when you reach the age of what, puberty?
Puberty.
Puberty. Now you're fully sound up here in your mind.
You become accountable.
Now you become accountable. That's like around what they say, like teenage years.
Yes, for a woman, it's when they reach their menses period, and for a boy, it's around 15.
It's almost close to that age where even in today's society, now you're accountable. Like you can actually go to be held like an adult. Go to a penitentiary.
And it's logical.
It's logical.
It's logical.
It makes sense.
You're old enough to know what you're doing.
There is nothing illogical in Islam at all, because what? The one who revealed Islam, which means surrender and submission, is from the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Creator of the heavens and earth.
So original goodness is what we're talking about today. And I hope that everybody, we started off with original sin and we came down to original goodness. And how do we stay on this original goodness?
By continuing to submit
continue
to the
to
one
submit.
True God. Every day. It's a daily process. There's no one saved, always saved. I can step in today and step out tomorrow. It's a continual everyday process.
Doing good.
Doing good. So continually submitting. This is why a Muslim prays 5 times a day. Because he has to continue to remind himself to submit.
Exactly. And you know what? You can't do these things on your own. So that's why the last and final messenger, The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came to the whole of humanity with the last and final revelation to mankind, which is the verbatim word of God, which is the Quran. It's the most read book today in the world, and we encourage you to pick up your Quran. You can see it on thedeanshow.com. Read it for free. Email us if you have any questions. I'd like to thank you for being with us again.
Absolutely.
Original goodness. And we hope you stay away from the sin. And we'll see you again, God willing, on the Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Welcome to the self-defense workshop on the Dean Show. Remember, these moves are only for self-defense, to be able to defend yourself or your family if ever put in a bad situation. So let's get to this move of the week. He's going to go ahead and do a push, a shove with his hands. He's going to strike my chest. Okay? So from here, as he does so, I'm going to trap his arm. So he's going to go ahead and push. One hand on the wrist, one hand on the elbow. And now, I'm going to lean my weight forward. He's signaling, otherwise the wrist is broke. Alright, let's do that again. He's going to go ahead, push my chest, I trap his arm, wrist, lean forward for the break. Let's do it again. And that's the move of the week.